original well spoken about in the Gospel of John. It's extraordinary, kind of a real spiritual moment to visit the well and to put down the bucket and pull up the bucket. When we do that with pilgrimages, I have the women around the well, and the women put down the bucket and they turn the thing and draw the bucket up again. It's a mystical moment, an extraordinary statement of the importance of women in the life of Christ and for us, women, in the life of the church. This is an extraordinary woman he meets. She was married 5 times, and now she's living with a man who is not her husband. So let me just reflect on this for a moment, what this means to us. First thing we notice is that Jesus is thirsty. Therefore, Jesus meets her in his humanity. He's not superior. He's in need, he's thirsty, and he's tired. And therefore, this is the incarnation in reflection, that Jesus meets us in our humanity, not when we're perfect, not when we have everything together, not when we have all the answers. Jesus meets us in our humanity when we're struggling and we have questions and we have doubts and we wonder if we'll fit in. Jesus meets us in his thirst. When he's in need, that's the place in humanity, the meeting between God and God's people. The second thing that's important about this is Jesus violates all the canons of tradition when he speaks to this woman. It was not acceptable for a man, a Jewish man, to speak to any woman in public who is a stranger. That was not allowed in the Jewish tradition. The second thing, she's a Samaritan woman. The hostility, the fierce hostility between Jews and Samaritans goes back 500 years before Christ, after the Babylonian exile. And therefore, there was a huge tension between Samaritans and the Jews. And this well, spoken about in the gospel, is in Samaritan territory. It's today part of the West Bank. It's Samaria. You read about the West Bank. It's a Palestinian stronghold. Right next to the area of the well at Sychar is the large city of Nablus. And Nablus is a Palestinian stronghold. Therefore, Jesus violates all the canons of propriety. He sets the law aside and responds to a need. He doesn't respond to a law. He responds to a need. He doesn't respond to a book of law. He responds to a person. And he responds without judgment. There's no judgment here. Jesus does not see a sinner. Jesus sees a woman on a faith journey. Therefore, she's not set aside. Jesus breaks down a division between those who are chosen and those who are rejected, those who qualify and those who are said not to qualify. Any division is broken down here by Jesus. He responds to this woman with dignity, with respect, and with reverence, treating her in the fullness of a human person struggling and searching in life. The example of Jesus is a powerful statement in this gospel. It makes you wonder, what would happen at Holy Family if somebody showed up and said, I'd like to register as a parishioner. I'd like to belong here. I'd like to be a lector. I'd like to be the cantor. I'd like to be active at Holy Family. Well, fill out this form. Well, actually, hate to tell you this, but I was married 6 times. I'm now living with a man who is not my husband. Well, wait a minute. No, Where would she fit in here? It's a big question. And look at the manner in which Jesus approaches this woman. It's an extraordinary statement. He's responding to need, not to law. It's an example for every one of us, not only in the church. It's an example for every one of us in our communities. We condemn people, we make judgments about people, we divide people, we expel people, we excommunicate people. This woman wouldn't have a chance in many areas of our church today. And yet Jesus can see goodness in her. The only way in which we understand a person is when the person has an opportunity to belong. When we belong, we learn who we are. When we are excluded, who we are is not properly honored. We're only honored when we're accepted. It's then we discover the goodness in one another. We're different, we're unique. We don't fit in. Take a second look. Makoto, this spiritual writer, Makoto Fujinura, he makes this point. He says, generative thinking happens only when we make a mistake. When we see the mistake, then we can become enlightened and we have generative thinking. We give life to people. We'll only give life to people when we see our failings, not the failings of the other. When we see our own failings, then imaginative generative thinking happens. We begin to see what isn't obvious. We begin to discover what was lost. We begin to appreciate and reverence the uniqueness of each person. That's the teaching of this gospel. Makes you wonder where this Jesus fits into our communities, our churches, our families today. Power of acceptance is so great, she becomes the first person to announce Jesus Christ as Messiah and Lord in the Gospel of John. She's the first one. And in the other Gospels, by the way, it's also women who are the first to announce the resurrection of Jesus. But in John's Gospel, this unique woman, uniquely human, is the first one to go to town and say, I think I have found the Messiah because I have experienced understanding and acceptance. What does that mean to us? We make judgments about people. We diminish people in our estimation. We say, you don't qualify, you don't fit, you don't please me, you don't meet my expectations. None of this appears in the manner in which Jesus approaches people in the incarnation. Is the whole meaning of God appearing in humanity. So when we go forth from here today, and you meet unusual people are a blessing. They're not subject to judgment. Unusual, exceptional people teach us about ourselves, teach us to seek a way to find goodness in other people, to find possibilities, to find not the sinner, but the person on a faith journey. How we meet people in the church today who question things and don't agree with things, who wonder if they fit in. Are they really sinners or are they people on a faith journey? And how would you read this gospel? How would you learn from this gospel how to respond to the uniqueness of each person? It's a wonderful teaching. It's so powerful to be inclusive, to be a place where you receive life, not judgment, where you receive welcoming, not separation, where you see reverence, and you know when these things happen, you know that you are in the presence of God. When these things happen, you know that you belong to a living church. Amen.